Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you ever been at Mega Mall on a Saturday? Okay. How about during the holiday season? One year, our family was invited for a dinner to meet some people at Mega Mall. I think on the third floor, someplace around, I can't remember which side it was of the huge mall. But so we made plans to meet these people at a given time. We allowed plenty of time to get there. In the old days, traffic was not quite as bad in one way, but it was worse in another. Because in the old days, they didn't even have a divider in the middle of the lane on Ortigas, and they didn't have lane markers. So it was a free-for-all. You just go for it. And so we can be thankful for dividers and lane markers during our day. But in the old day, you know, we allowed enough time to get there. And so we work our way up into the parking garage, and I'm looking for a parking spot. And I keep looking for a parking spot. And I keep looking for a parking spot. And I don't find any parking spot. And it's almost dinner time. So I tell my family, I'll let you off by the door and I'll just wait for a parking spot. You know how long it took for me to get a parking spot? About an hour. They were just about done with dinner by the time I finally got into the restaurant. That's kind of the worst case scenario. This message today was prompted by an experience this week. So Rhonda and I went to St. Luke's Hospital and for some of her checkups. And so we get to St. Luke's, and it's about 11:30, quarter to 12. Last time we were there, it seemed pretty crowded. So we get down, and we go to the very bottom of the parking garage. Anyone been to St. Luke's yet? They have multiple floors of parking. And so I figured, okay, everything's taken. Let's just go to the bottom, and maybe we'll find something in the corner. So we get down there, and there's cars, like in the middle of the aisles. I mean, they're just cars everywhere. They're just wherever, and they all have their flashes on. They're waiting for the parking spot to open. Well, I think, oh boy, what am I going to do? I guess I will go with plan B. Drop Rhonda off so she's not late. And then I'll just hang out in the car like everybody else. And eventually, someone will leave and probably someone else will get that spot before I do. But I'll just hang out, and when she's done, I'll be down here waiting for her still. So we go over right by the entrance of the elevator, and Rhonda told me, let's pray. I've been praying about this. And so she prayed that we would get there quickly, which we did pretty well. And that we would have, and on the way, I told her my fear of not having parking. So she said, let's pray and ask God to provide a parking spot. So that's the entrance, and our car is right here. And we're just trying to get everything together. She's getting her backpack and everything. And all of a sudden, the guard over by the door comes up and knocks on our window. Right there. All I had to do was back up, face straight on, and that was our parking spot for the day. Wow. And so I learned an important lesson that I've been thinking about all week, and you get to listen in on some of my thoughts today. Why is it so difficult to trust God? You know, okay, so Rhonda had all this confidence that God would provide a parking spot in this packed parking lot or parking garage. And there was a car right in front of us with his flashers on. And so, you know, I just stopped so I could get her out. And why is it so hard to trust in God? The journey of faith is challenging. No one is exempt from doubt or fear. Every one of us will have experiences of moments of doubt. Doubt and fear are closely related. Doubt causes fear, and then fear feeds the doubt. They often go together. If we can deal with our doubts, then we can also deal with our fears. Developing faith will give us courage to face the challenges of our life. Life may be coasting along, going pretty easy for you, and then all of a sudden something causes you to doubt, or there's some fear that comes. Fear is a natural response to when we feel threatened by something or uncertain about something. I want to look briefly at the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. The background to the passage I'm going to look at is that the Midianites, the enemies, had come in and conquered Israel. It was a difficult time for Israel, dark time spiritually. The people were so afraid that they hid in caves. They couldn't even go out and harvest their food. They were so afraid of the Midianites. In this case, it was Israel's own fault. When you read the book of Judges, we find out that they had forsaken God. And they were going after idols and compromising their faith and their morality. Not always are our troubles because we've turned away from God. Sometimes troubles come to us when we are walking with God. Sometimes, though, we do get ourselves into trouble by making bad decisions. So starting with verse 11, we find Gideon out secretly threshing his wheat. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." A key thought, just as we begin looking at this story, is that the Lord was with Gideon. There's nothing special about Gideon right now. In fact, he's kind of a little, when I grew up, we called them scaredy cats, because you come up to a cat and it's scared and it runs away. Gideon was kind of like that. You know, he was very timid and afraid of many things. He had doubts and fears, but yet God was with him. So Gideon replied, "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Notice Gideon's questions at this point in the story. Why has this happened to us? Have you ever asked that kind of question? Why has this happened to me? I think we all have, if we're honest, and at different times. Why am I going through this? Where is God? Where are God's miracles? To be honest, I think we've all had these kind of why kind of questions. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" God had given Gideon all that he needed to deal with the problem of the Midianites. God was sending Gideon. Paul asked in his letter to the Romans in chapter 8:31, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. He likes that word. "Excuse me, sir." "Excuse me, po." That's kind of the Filipino way to say it. "Excuse me, po." Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Gideon only looked on the surface, the obvious. His response was not one of faith, but of intellect. He calculated everything, and he looked at the situation, and he saw himself way down here in the corner. The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon just cannot see through his doubts and fears. He needs proof that this is God and that he is going to carry through with what he has promised. God, in his grace, does give us signs. God will often bring people into our lives, situations that we go through to remind us that he is there and he has provided everything we need. So Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Well, that was a pretty quick meal to make, but still, you know, you got to get the meat ready. You got to get the bread ready. Boy, that's a little bit of time to think about, okay, is God or, you know, Gideon's still thinking about this. Is this angel, this messenger, is he going to be out there when I get there? Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff, and poof, right? You can imagine it. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That would have got my attention. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Sometimes we are even blind to what God is doing right before us. And we don't see his presence when it's right there before us. But the Lord said to Gideon, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." They had the belief in the Old Testament that you came in the presence of God, you would die because God was so holy. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." God's presence with Gideon helped him to overcome his fear. As the story goes on, Gideon did become a great warrior. You might remember the story of the Midianites and how he and only 100 warriors conquered this mighty army with just torches and some broken pots. Usually the first word that an angel says in the Bible is, "Do not be afraid." The most repeated phrase in the Bible, they tell us, is, "Do not be afraid." It occurs over 350 times in various forms in the Bible, one for each day. It can be difficult for some people to trust in God. Gideon had a hard time believing the promises of God, but eventually he came around and did trust in God. It's easier to say we trust in God than actually to act on it. We can say, "Oh yes, I trust in God." But when it comes to life and challenges, do we really trust in God? We all have moments of weak faith. I have plenty of those. The ways of the world or the crowds around us can deceive us and fool us into thinking in the false promises of the world around us. And those promises will send us away from God's purposes for us. There are different roadblocks that come in our lives. I want to talk about a few of those roadblocks that came to my mind this week as I was thinking about my hospital experience in the parking lot. Number one is humanness. A lack of trust goes way back to our first ancestors. Think about the story of Adam and Eve. So Eve did not trust in God. Adam was listening in, and he did not trust in God either. It's easy to be deceived by the world and its false promises. Now, certain personality types, I think, have maybe a little harder time. I'm not sure. I'm just going to talk from my own perspective. Certain personality types rely on self a lot. One of my strengths in the Clifton Strengths Finder, if you've ever taken that test, I don't know if you've taken that test, but they have leaders and missionaries and pastors take this test. And I think my third strength is called achiever. Achiever. My achiever mentality is to work hard to get things done. Now, some of you work with me, or you see me working in my office, and you know that I have a pretty high work ethic. And I work hard at things. I have a list of to-dos, and I like to check them off. And I keep working at them until I can cross them off and make a new to-do list, which I usually do on Monday morning. Okay, what did I not get done last week? This strength can be a blessing, but it can also be a weakness. I tend to think that I can do things on my own, and I don't need help, and I don't need God's help. I can just do it. I have the attitude, I can do it. I can achieve it. And so I go and work on it, and someday I'll finish it. I have solved many challenges with this strength. I've fixed broken cars. I've built a house. I've made things and solved computer problems. And think, you know, I just like figure it out. Don't give up until I figure it out. But the problem is that I begin to trust my own understanding and my own strength. My understanding of people and of things is limited. I cannot see around the corner like God can see. And so, too often, I fall, I fail, I struggle, I get stressed out because I'm not achieving what I hope to achieve. My humanness is a problem, a roadblock that keeps me from trusting in God. A second challenge, roadblock, that I've seen is independent streak. We like to be in control of our lives and situations, especially people like me, but our independence can be greatly influenced by sin. At the root of sin is selfishness. The secular world believes in the survival of the fittest. Have you heard of that? For example, in evolution, whatever animal is the strongest or species will be the one that survives. This has been our struggle since Adam and Eve. It is most often expressed in pride. Adam and Eve basically said, when they ate of that forbidden fruit, they basically said, we don't need God. We want to be like God. We can do it on our own. We can be our own God. It's harder to listen to God when we have our own agenda. Independence. I can do it on my own. A third roadblock is, I'm just going to label it as challenges. We all will face obstacles in life. I often hear students struggling over the many hurdles in their race to graduate. We will all have setbacks and things that make life difficult. Challenges can lead to uncertainties because we do not know how we're going to overcome that situation. It just seems so impossible. Or it's going to take so much energy, so much time, and even so much money that there's just no way we're going to overcome that. Pain can make us blind to God's goodness and protection. There's a story in the Old Testament of Abram and Sarai. They had become impatient with God's promise that they would have a child one day and God would bless them. Their story of desperation is found in Genesis chapter 16. You probably know this story really well. But just to think about it, Sarai had come to the point where she was getting desperate. And so she had this great idea that she would let Abram have a child with their slave Hagar. Abram did not stop the idea, but carried through with it. Neither one of them could see through their big challenge except to cheat on God's promise and do things their own way. Well, we know the story. Hagar did give birth to a son named Ishmael. The Muslims traced their history back through Ishmael, and the Jews through Isaac. History tells us the rest of the story, that these two descendants of Abraham have not gotten along very well throughout history, and even continue to fight to our day. When we take things into our own hands, often trouble results. A fourth roadblock that we have is fear. Fear causes us to forget the past and the miracles that we have already experienced. Fear leads to doubt. The outcome of fear is doubt. Doubt is like a seed that when it's in us, it grows and it clouds our vision and it makes our thinking not so clear anymore. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19 about Elijah the prophet. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 to 3 is a strong warning to us about fear and doubt. Elijah had just beaten the 450 prophets of Baal. This miracle of having this altar drenched with water burn up. What a miracle. What a high point in anyone's life. But then we come to chapter 19. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Talking about the prophets. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Elijah was at what we call sometimes the top of his game. He was at the pinnacle of prophetic power. You know, you could imagine, you know, the experience he just had. But how quickly he let fear overcome him. God did not leave Elijah to struggle, though, as the story goes on, but sent an angel to give strength and assurance. We can look for God's presence in the middle of our own fears and struggles. The light of God will shine into our darkness. God created us not to fear. Fear came when Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit. Genesis 3:10 is the first occurrence of the word fear in the Bible and the human race. After Adam ate the fruit, he said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. so I hid. There are consequences to turning to our own ways and our own thinking and our own agenda, because one of the results may be fear. And then a fifth roadblock is disappointment. Disappointment comes when we expect God to answer our prayers in a certain way, but God does not. As a result, we begin to doubt our own faith. We think, oh, maybe my faith isn't strong enough. Or maybe I just need to call a little louder to God. Or pray more fervently. And when God does not answer, it seems that maybe God doesn't care. Have you ever had that experience? Okay, God, do you care about me? I've been praying and you're not answering my prayer. The prophet Habakkuk still believed in God, but had questions to God. His book in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, is a dialogue that Habakkuk has with God when Habakkuk expresses his doubts and questions. We learn in this book that it is okay to ask God questions as long as we are under the umbrella of faith. But we must be careful to always come back to the safety of God's sovereignty. So in Habakkuk, the book starts off chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Habakkuk has a complaint. He has questions of God. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" That's our question, isn't it? God, I have been praying. We've been asking for your help. Are you there? Are you listening? Where are you? "Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." It seems like the wicked and the evil have a better life than the righteous. Why do I have to suffer? Why are we suffering? Where are you, God? Have you ever had those kinds of questions? I have. Maybe not exactly expressed like that, but they're kind of in my thinking. Well, after pouring out his soul to God in this book, Habakkuk ends the book with confidence. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Shan and I just finished reading last night the book Hinds Feet in High Places. Shan, it's based on this verse, that the Lord will help us through the trials that we go through. Now, how can we grow in our trust of God? Now, I've been talking all this negative stuff, right? Well, what can we do about this? Well, we can do the opposite of these five things that I've just described. We can learn to lean on God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Not part of it, but all your heart. "And then lean not on your own understanding." Well, what does all that mean? It means that in all your ways you submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will help you get over those hurdles, around those roadblocks, and will guide you. So the image is leaning on someone or something to support us. Or perhaps if any of you ever run in races, I know Lexi is super, super fast in her races. She's like record keeper, or the record maker at Faith Academy. So when you run a race, you're leaning forward, right? You can't run a race like this. You run a race forward. You're facing forward. And so we are looking forward. We're pushing ourselves forward into God's care. Trust comes as we get to know someone. As we get to know God more and more, we develop a relationship with Him. And then we can learn to trust in Him more. Trust is not natural, but it must be a decision of our will. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast because they trust in you." Martin Luther said, "Pray and let God worry." We can learn to trust by taking our thoughts captive. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we are to take every thought captive to obey Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 reminds us that we can cast all our anxiety on Him, for He cares for us. I like the New Living Translation of Psalm 56 verse 8. "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." The Lord knows our struggles. He knows our challenges, our disappointments. He even knows our fears. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 gives us a wonderful promise that we can grow in our trust. "They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." In the book of Romans chapter 8, I read a verse from that earlier, but I want to read several more verses of that. 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" And Paul's talking about trouble and persecution and challenges and fears and disappointments and all those things. So what do we say about all that? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, give us all things graciously? When God comes to us with good news, the good news of hope, we can find confidence in Him. Jesus came as the incarnated good news from God. He showed and lived good news for us. He is our hope. He is the one who overcomes our fear. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 are powerful verses for us when we think about why it's difficult to trust. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus opened the door, opened the way, showed us the way of faith, and He gives us the strength to make it through the way that He has opened for us.